John chapter 9, and we'll start with verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the salvation we have in Christ. We thank you for this day and the opportunity we have to be here, the freedom we have to preach your word, and we thank you, Lord, that we have a place to meet, and we just thank you for this time. Pray you bless your word, you give me the right words, the power to preach, that you will be glorified above all, in Jesus' name, amen. Who did sin, this man or his parents? He was born blind. Now, as I was reading this passage a while back, a thought struck me that I think is a problem in most of us, and it's a problem that's been around probably since the very beginning of time, and that is the problem of trying to find out whose fault something is. Always got to find out who's the one at fault, who's the scapegoat. We got to find somebody to blame, and it's never ourselves. It's always somebody else. And if you have kids, you know exactly what I mean. And the more you have, the worse it gets. You can have an hour and a half fight in your home about, you know, who spilled the milk. And if you're like me, after about, 45 minutes, you think, this is stupid. Why am I arguing about who spilled the milk? I mean, does it really matter who spilled the milk? Let's just clean it up and get it over with and go on. I mean, you know, some things are not really important about who gets the blame. But, you know, our nature, our self-righteous nature says, hey, it wasn't me to spill the milk. We gotta find out who did it so they can get all the blame and get all the punishment and get all the yelling, and then I'll be satisfied. And it's a problem, I think, that is very common in most people. You know, we've all seen labels on different products, you know, things like a label on an iron. Do not iron clothes on your body. Wow, really? Never thought about that one, you know? Or a chainsaw has a label that says, do not grab chains while saw is running, you know? Don't try to stop the chain while the saw is going. Or, you know, this product will be hot after heating. These are true labels that you can find on this stuff, you know? Sleeping pills. On the box it says, may cause drowsiness. Now, why are these things on these, why are these labels there? I mean, are people getting dumber? You know, I don't think they're getting dumber, actually. I mean, maybe they are. But this is not why this is happening. There's nothing new under the sun. Man has been avoiding blame since the beginning of time. People have been trying to find somebody else to blame for their stupidity or their mistakes or their sin or their rebellion or whatever wrong they've done from the beginning of time, since the Garden of Eden. So this is nothing new. What's happened is that all these lawyers and scientists just found a way to make it profitable for everybody. Now you can find somebody to blame and get about $10 million to boot. Then you really feel good. No blame and a big bank account. And it's a problem that started back in the Garden of Eden. We hear these days that, you know, what causes aggression in boys is some certain gene they have. Their genetical makeup makes them aggressive. Great, now you don't have to spank your kid. It's just not his fault. It's just a gene he has, and he was born with it, and when he wants to beat up on his sister, you have to let him because that's his genetical makeup. You know? Well, bring him to me. I'll take care of that makeup. I'll make up a paddle, and I'll blister his hind end, and then you'll have less aggression. And it sounds innocent. Wow, this little boy, he's aggressive, but this is how he was born. Yeah, but you know what? The same doctors will tell you that this guy who was a homosexual, that's just how he was born. He's got that genetical makeup, so we can't bother him. That's his lifestyle. We have to just let him be what he wants to be. And if he wants to take your little boy at school and go abuse him, that's just his genetical makeup. We got to let him be what he wants to be. You see the problem? Yeah. We're trying to find somebody else to blame instead of those who are guilty. Alcoholism is a disease. That sounds real good, you know. It sounds like, oh, yeah, I take care of this disease, but it's still a problem. You're putting the blame somewhere else instead of at the foot of the person who is to blame. And as long as you buy into that philosophy, you will never, ever see revival. As long as you think that you can find somebody else to blame for your sin and your rebellion, as long as you spend all your time trying to find somebody else to blame, you're going to get colder and colder and more backslidden, and you'll never see revival. Oh, you'll feel good. You'll feel great. You'll feel like you've never done anything wrong. And everybody else will be to blame, whether it's your wife or your church or your kids or your boss or somebody else, but you'll never see revival. You'll be cold as can be. And if you're a lost man, it's even worse. If you're not saved and you're always trying to find somebody to blame, you'll never get saved. Because to get saved, you've got to admit that you're lost. You've got to admit that you're guilty. Innocent people don't need to be saved. So Jesus said, he said, those who are whole don't need a physician, but those that are sick. And that's the problem these days, is it's hard to find sick people. Hard to find sinful people. Everybody says, I've not done anything wrong. I'm a good guy. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't robbed any banks. I haven't done any terrible things. Sorry. Sorry to hear that. You're so good, you don't need Jesus. As long as you find somebody to blame, as long as you're trying to find some other guilty party, you're not going to get saved. My question tonight is, whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? Whose fault is it that you need revival? Whose fault is it that I need revival? Whose fault is it that you're cold? Whose fault is it that you're in rebellion against God? Whose fault is it that you're in the state you're in now? Whose fault is it that you're in a bad mood 23 hours a day? Whose fault is it that your marriage is in trouble? Whose fault is it that your kids are uncontrollable? You have two choices. You can find somebody to blame. The teachers, the other kids, the principal, the food, the chocolate, President Bush, ex-President Clinton. I mean, or you can say, maybe it's me. Genesis chapter 3. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12. Well, let's read verse 11. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? God asks Adam, what happened? How did you find out that you're naked? Did you eat of the tree? And Adam couldn't even answer a simple question. But he said, the woman. The woman. That's the reason. That's why you're in such a bad mood from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m. The woman, right? She didn't make your breakfast right. She didn't pack your lunch for you. She burned your supper. And that's why you're in a bad mood. You get to work and you're in a horrible mood because the woman. She didn't get you up in time or she got you up too early. You find lots of reasons to be in a bad mood if you want to blame your wife. I heard a story about a guy who couldn't be pleased. I mean, this guy, he just could not be pleased. Nothing he did was good enough. His wife did was good enough. Always something wrong. Always something she did was wrong. And one day she says, I'm going to do it right this time. I'm going to spend an hour and a half before he gets up getting breakfast ready. So I'm just, she found out the night before, what do you want? You know, she said, I want one fried egg, one scrambled egg. And I want a glass of juice and a cup of coffee and some toast and some bacon and some jelly on my toast. Okay, so she spent an hour and a half getting it all ready. And then she just brought it in on a nice big tray and brought it in. And she said, well, how do you like it? He said, you fried the wrong egg. You can find reasons to be in a bad mood and blame your wife if you want to. And that's what Adam did. He couldn't even say, I ate it. He had to find somebody to blame. He had to blame his wife. She nags. She crags. She drags. And that's why you have such a terrible life. Once you can't control your wife, you can't make any changes so she won't nag you, so she won't drag. Do something. You can't control your wife. Problems you have because your wife, maybe it's your problem. You call yourself the head of the house, or maybe you're the woman. You say, the man you gave me. And he reminds you, it's the man you chose. It's the man you chose. He's a jerk. Yeah, well, you chose that jerk. God says you have to obey him now. Oh, what? Obey. Even when he says, don't go to Mexico, Debbie. Obey. Oh, but we don't want to take the blame. We want to find somebody else to blame. We want to blame our wife, blame our husband, blame our kids. As we read back in John chapter 9, he says, who did sin, this man or his parents? You know, you go to a psychiatrist today, he'll find out that all your problems are caused by your parents. Oh, you embezzle money because your parents never gave you an allowance. It's their fault, you know. Oh, you're in a bad mood because your mom and dad never took care of you right. They never bought you your favorite toy. And that's why you're in a bad mood. It's their fault. And you walk out of there, $200 poorer, but with no blame. And to a lot of people, it's worth $200 to have no blame. They'll pay a lot of money to feel good and have no blame. Look in Leviticus chapter 26. I got something to show you in case you think that all your woes are caused by your parents and that means that you are innocent. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 40. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me. You'll find many, many times in the Bible when people trespassed against God, people were rebelled against God because their parents didn't teach them the truth. And yet here it says, if they confess their sin and the sin of their fathers. I'm not trying to say that your parents have no responsibility to do right and to raise you right. But don't you ever think that any mistake your parents ever make means that you are free from all responsibility and can do whatever you want and you can just say, well, you know, I'm this way because my parents, they didn't love me right, or they didn't raise me right, or they made some mistakes, or my dad was a hothead, or my dad had a heavy hand, or my mom was a nag, or whatever. You can't blame your parents.
That's right.
He says, if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers. There's a story in 2 Kings 22 that I'd also like to bring to your attention. 2 Kings 22. We'll start in verse 10. The king Josiah has begun to reign and he's fixing up the temple. And in verse 10 it says, and Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Akbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah the servant of the king, saying, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. Josiah read this book, and he says, we are in trouble. Our fathers didn't teach us right. They messed up. They really goofed. They dropped the ball. And now God is mad at us. He says, you better go find out what we can do about this. He didn't say, well, you know, that's life. I mean, we can only do with what we've got. We were dealt this hand, and we got to just go on with it like it is. And not our fault, not our responsibility. And some of you tonight may be thinking the same thing. That's how my parents raised me. That's how I was taught, and that's how I'm going to do it, and it's their fault. It's not my responsibility to do right. No, you're wrong. it is your responsibility to do right, whether your parents did right, whether your brother does right, whether your pastor does right, whether your sister does right. And no matter who else it is, you have the responsibility to do right. Amen. Josiah understood that. Question is, do you understand it? Or are you so intent on avoiding blame that you're going to find someone to blame for all your rebellion, some excuse to get out of any responsibility to do what God said? Well, look in Romans chapter 12. The woman, the man, the parents, always somebody to blame in there. There are some people that don't even come to this church anymore because they got offended at somebody. And I'm not saying they don't go to church here. I'm saying they don't go to church anywhere. They don't read their Bibles. They don't go to church. They don't pray. They don't give. They don't praise. They don't sing. You know why? They got offended at somebody. Somebody didn't shake their hand. Somebody didn't give them the seat they wanted. Someone looked at them. Some woman in the church gave them this funny look in their eyes, and they just knew. They just knew, boy, she got something against me. And they got offended, and they're gone. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, many times we think that because somebody does us wrong, that gives us the right to do them wrong. Or gives us the right to get all bent out of shape and get all depressed, or go off and get backslidden, or go off and quit coming to church. But that's not what this verse says. Let's just say that old sister in the church didn't give you her hand, or she looked at you funny. Big deal. Jesus said, even if it's your enemy, you ought to feed him, give him drink, bring her a gift, go to her house and help her clean her house. But Jesus said, go help him overhaul his engine. No, but he doesn't like me. Jesus said, do good. Overcome evil with good. And yet you think that since he did you wrong, you're going to just go off and get all backslidden or depressed or start spreading rumors about him and get out of the will of God. And you're going to blame him because he did you wrong. That is not what God said. And it's your fault. You're the one to blame because Jesus said, overcome evil with good. We can find all kinds of ways to excuse our rebellion and our sin. I've talked to people who are lost. Maybe you're here and you're lost tonight. Maybe you're not saved. And they've told me that they don't believe in God because their priest. Their priest is a homosexual, or their priest did this, or their priest did that. And they don't believe in God. And they're living like the devil. And they're drunks, and they're adulterers, and they blame everything on the priest. You think that makes you innocent? You think it's because your priest is a womanizer, or he's a drunk, or he just loves money, that means you can be a womanizer and be a drunk and love money? Jesus said if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. He didn't say if the blind lead the blind, the leader goes in the ditch, but the one who follows, he's got an excuse. He said they both end up in the ditch. There's no excuse. Well, back to Genesis chapter 3. The first one to blame is the man, the woman, the man, the parents, or the brother or the sister in the church, or the pastor, somebody else. That's what Adam said. But listen to what Eve said. Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, look out, ladies, it's your turn. What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The devil made me do it. Oh, then I understand. Then there's no problem. It's the devil's fault. That means you're free to go on and keep on doing it. Does that make any sense? But that's what this world thinks. And you probably use the same excuse yourself a time or two. Hey, I couldn't help it. The devil made me do it. The devil tempted me and I couldn't help it. Yes, you could help it. And when you do it, it's your fault, not the devil's fault. Look in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Not of the devil, of his own lust. It's your lust that makes you sin. You're not going to get away with it by blaming the devil. God said it's your fault. It's your responsibility. And when you fall into sin, whether it's rebellion, whether it's just gossip, or whether it's fornication, or whether it may, whatever kind of sin it is, the Bible says it's your own lust. And you can't get away by blaming the devil of darkness. And when you get bastion or you get cold, it's because you love darkness and not light. And you can't get away by blaming the devil. Simply put, you do it because you want to. You do it because you want to. You choose to. You make a conscious decision to do it. I get really tickled at these people I talk to who believe that you can actually earn your salvation. And they tell me that they try their best. Give me a break. Not day in your life where you tried your best all day long. You and I are so weak. In fact, you try your best to do wrong many times. If people tell me, oh, I try, I do the best that I can. And when I sin, it's just because, you know, I didn't want to do it, but you know, it just happens. Oh, really? I'd like to know how in the world you can be malicious and spiteful and not mean to be that way. Now, there are a lot of things that, you know, that overcome us, I understand, but how can you be malicious and say, I didn't mean to be malicious? I didn't mean to gossip about you. I didn't mean to say what I said. What did you mean to say? Please tell me. I mean, you know, you tell somebody that they got bad breath or something, you know, and you think, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Oh, what did you mean to say? You do it because you want to do it. And when you say, oh, it's the devil. No, it ain't the devil. It's you. It's me. And we try to get out of it and try to find someone else to blame, just like Eve did. And the blame was right there at her feet. Back to Genesis chapter 3. You want revival? You want to get excited about serving the Lord? You want to overcome sin? You want to overcome those evil thoughts? You want to overcome that besetting sin in your life? You'll never do it if you continue to find someone else to blame. The only way is to say, it's me. The buck stops here. I've got the blame. It's my fault. I'm the one that's rebellious. I'm the one that loves myself. I'm the one that loves sin. I'm the one that wants to do wrong. I'm the one that refuses to give in. I'm the one who's guilty. And if you don't, you get colder and colder. Genesis 3:12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. The amazing thing, the audacity that Adam had to blame God. The woman that you gave me? Yeah, God, it's not my fault. I mean, after all, you gave me this woman. I mean, I didn't choose her. I was asleep. Right? It wasn't my fault. I was asleep. I learned from Adam. I chose mine when I was awake. Made a good choice, too. The woman thou gavest me to blame God. But you would never blame God, would you? Nah. You would never blame God for your sin, would you? No way. Over in Poland, they've got weather reports on the radio, on TV, and newspaper, and everywhere. Man, it's important to listen to the weather in Poland. I don't know why. Always cold. I mean, just it's kind of like that movie Groundhog Day. Every day is the same thing. Good morning. It's cold out there, you know. It's always cold out there. Just pre-tape it and play the same thing over and over. I don't want to pay those guys all that money because they get the same thing every day. But they got weather reports, and they'll tell you every morning. Well, this morning, today, the barometric pressure is going to be 1,200, whatever that's supposed to mean. I have no idea. And so those who have problems with depression should probably be real careful today because it could be a bad one, you know. I am not kidding you. I am telling you the truth. You can go to work and you can be depressed. You can go to work and shoot all your fellow employees. You can go to work and hang your boss and say, hey, it was a barometric pressure. I mean, I can't help it. It just overcame me. I'm not kidding you. I have talked to people for 7 years, and practically every time I talk to them, you know, it's always the weather. Oh, I got a headache. It must be the pressure in the air. You know, just killing me, you know. I think, come on, man. I've been here 7 years. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, come on. But they take it seriously. So a man gets mad because of the pressure and beats his wife. I say, hey, sorry, it was the pressure. And you can find someone to blame. You can blame God. Because isn't he in control of the weather? Isn't God in control of the pressure and the rain and the winds? So ultimately, it's God's fault that you're in a bad mood. We had a rainy day yesterday. Wasn't the greatest day for a funeral, was it? But you know what? We had a joyous time yesterday, too. It was kind of cold. It really wasn't cold. Believe me, it was not cold yesterday. It was not cold. But it was rainy. It was cool. But you know what? We had a great time. Some of you may have come real depressed because of the rain. I don't know. You may have come with a heavy heart saying, oh, just, I'm so depressed and so sad because it's raining out there. Big deal. It rains on the just and the unjust. Get used to it. It's going to rain sometime. You don't have to get all depressed because it rains, or get all sad, or get in a bad mood, or be mad at your wife because it's raining outside. But when you do, ultimately you're blaming God for your bad mood. Now, I'd be happy if it wasn't for this rain. I'd be happy if it wasn't for this cold weather. I'd be happy if it wasn't for that heat out there. You know, man, I just can't help it. Yeah, you can help it. You can get happy. You can choose to be joyful. You don't have to enjoy it. That may be going too far. Hard to enjoy 30 degree below weather, you know. You don't have to enjoy it, but you can at least be happy. You can rejoice and praise God and enjoy your salvation and thank God you're not going to a hotter place. You find something to be thankful for instead of blaming God for your bad mood. As we said a while ago, people blame God because that's just how people were born, right? Their genes. That's just the kind of genes they have. They're aggressive, or they're homosexual, or they're womanizers, or they're drunks, because that's just how they were created. I'm sorry. That is not true. It is not God's fault. It is not God's fault that people are homosexuals. It is not God's fault that Hitler killed all those millions of people. It is not God's fault that you're in the mess you're in. It's your fault. I've had people tell me that they do wrong and they are drunks because the mere availability of it all. The existence of it. I mean, it's here. I'm going to do it. Now, that's real smart. The gun's there. I'm going to use it. Here on my head. That makes a lot of sense. But again, they blame God. People blame God because evil exists, and they're gonna be evil, they're gonna commit evil, they're gonna rebel against God, and they're gonna do it, and they're gonna blame God the whole time. Say, God, if you really didn't want me to do it, you wouldn't make it available. Circumstances. You blame God because of the circumstances. Whether it's poverty, whether it's sickness, difficult conditions, things get bad, whether it's the weather, or whether it's your financial status, or whether it's your health, and you get mad against God and rebel against God because you're sick and you're in bed and you don't understand why and you're in pain, and you get mad against God and say, it's God's fault. Let me read you some verses here in Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, verse 21. I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Pretty interesting. You know how many people in that situation would have said, well, sorry, we can't serve the Lord now. He didn't drive everybody out. He let us down. We've got different conditions. We didn't expect this. We're going to just rebel and we're going to just live like we wanted. We're going to backslide and do our own thing because, I mean, God didn't take care of us like he's supposed to. And God said, I'm doing this to test you. I'm going to see what you're made of. I'm going to see if you'll do right, even when the conditions are not 100% favorable. How many times do we think that we have an excuse to do our own thing, or to rebel against God's will, or to get backslidden, or to get cold, or to wreck our marriage, just because the conditions are not favorable to us? And what we're doing is blaming God. Saying, God, you're to blame. Because if you would have made it right for me, if you would have made it easy for me, if you would have taken care of my situation, if you would have improved my conditions, I would have served you faithfully. But now I'm not. And we justify ourselves. You read the book of Genesis about Joseph. You think you got problems? You think you get picked on? You think you get mistreated by your brothers and sisters? You ain't got nothing, man. You don't know what, have any idea what it's like. Here is Joseph. He's already been promised he's gonna be the head of the family. They're gonna all bow down to him. And yet he finds himself in a pit. And right then, Joseph could have said, well, forget it. I mean, God abandoned me. Forget it. I'm gonna serve him. He didn't keep his end of the bargain. Then he gets taken to Egypt. He gets taken to Egypt and he is tempted by Potiphar's wife. Well, it's available, right? I mean, I can do what I want, right? It's available. And yet, what did he do? He fled. He fled. Many Christians would have said, well, sorry. I mean, the devil made me do it. I'm just weak. I can't help it. I gotta do it because whatever. I can't resist. Yes, you can resist. Joseph resisted. Then you find himself in prison. Man, what is going on? What's going on? Did God forget about me completely? And yet in prison, he still stays faithful under less than favorable conditions. He didn't blame God. And even when he had a chance to cut off his brother's heads, his brothers came to him and said, Oh, Joseph, your father told us to tell you that, you know, to be nice to us, to be generous, to be kind to us. They were scared to death. And Joseph could have said, now I got my chance. It's available, right? I've got power. And what did he do? He says, y'all meant it for evil. God meant it for good. He didn't blame God. He didn't get bitter against God. He didn't get bitter against his own brothers. He just did God's will. He just did right. He simply did right no matter what his brothers did. No matter what Potiphar's wife did. No matter what happened, he did right. And he didn't blame God when he could have. When most people would have. We find Job. Joseph had problems. Job had them worse. Man, no kids, no wealth, no peace from his wife. And he could have blamed God again, like Joseph could have. And he could have said, hey, God, what's going on here? But he didn't. You see, it all depends on whose fault it is. It all depends on whether you're willing to admit your fault, confess your sin. Something in the book of Job, but I'd like to read to you, Job chapter 40. Job 40, verse 8. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? People are condemning God every day. People are blaming God every day for everything under the sun. Blaming God for this, blaming God for that, blaming God for their own rebellion, blaming God for their own sin, blaming God for their coldness, blaming God for their bad mood and bad attitude to be made righteous, to paint themselves pretty, make themselves look good. So they want to have to humble themselves and say, I am the one, I am guilty, it is me. They say, God's fault. The woman thou gavest me. That's why I'm in a bad mood. The wife you gave me. Well, in Psalm 51, we can learn a tremendous lesson from David. Psalm 51, verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. You see, David had committed a sin. David had rebelled. David had committed adultery. And when God dealt with David, David didn't say, God, it was available. He didn't say, she tempted me. She seduced me. He didn't say, God, it's your fault. You made her beautiful. Like I've heard people say to me, and I'm not kidding you. Hey, God made her beautiful. What can I do? It's God's fault. No, it's not God's fault. And David said, I've sinned. I've done wrong. It's my fault. The sin lies at my feet, at my door. It's my responsibility. And I have sinned against you, God. He didn't blame his wife. He didn't blame God. He didn't blame his parents. He blamed himself. That's one of the reasons why I think David was a man after God's own heart, willing to admit his own sin instead of making himself look good, instead of go on and try to somehow justify himself. You can't win. You can't win with God as a believer. And if you're lost here tonight, you cannot win with God. You will spend eternity in hell. It says in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, the Bible says that every single one of us is rebellious against God by nature. We have turned everyone to our own way. We do our own thing. We can't blame God. We can't blame our parents. We can't blame Adam. We can't blame Eve. We can't blame anybody but our own selves. We do because we want to do it. We rebel against God by our own free choice. And it says here, all we like sheep gone astray. The good news is the Lord laid on Jesus your iniquity and mine. He laid on Jesus all your sins. He didn't have to. He could have judged you for them forever and ever in a place called hell. But he didn't. He laid them on Jesus. And he offers free salvation to anyone who will simply come to God and say, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Anyone who'll come and instead of saying, but God, you know, I've been trying my best. Liar, you have been trying your best. Say, God, I'm better than most people. No, you're not either. Instead of saying those things, you'll say, oh, God, I am a sinner. I have done my own thing against your will. I know what you say. I know what's right. I know what's righteous. I know what's just. And I still do what I want to do. And I'm guilty. And if you come to God with that attitude, he says he'll give you grace. Because he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. You get proud and think, yeah, I'm better than most people. He resists you to the day you die and for eternity. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Salvation is offered. It's offered to those who will admit to their own rebellion. Revival is also available only to those who will quit blaming others, quit blaming God, quit blaming the devil, and say, it's me, O Lord. It's me. My marriage is like it is because of me. My home is like it is because of me. My problems at work are because of me. My problems with my brother and sister in church are because of me. Instead of saying, it's always somebody else picking on me. And you have to make that decision your own self if you want revival. And say, it's me. Bow our heads. God, bless your word tonight. Lord, we confess we are so self-righteous. Confess we find fault so often with everybody else and so seldom with our own selves. Have mercy upon us, Lord, in Jesus' name.